Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Leslie Kernison of the Helping Older Parents Membership and Better Health While Aging. And welcome to this Helping Older Parents Membership FAQ featuring my colleague, Linda Fodrini-Johnson, MFT CMC, Certified Geriatric Care Manager. So in this short video, we are going to answer a common question that we see coming up over and over again among members of our Helping Older Parents membership. This is an online program that we run to provide guidance and support to people who are navigating the journey of helping their declining aging parents get better care and address health and safety issues and better connect during that time in their life. So Linda, this is a question that, as you know, we get something like this come up in the membership repeatedly. And so to help our members and also other people out there who are not in the membership, because we want to be helpful to as many people as possible, for today, I would love for you to offer us some guidance and suggestions on the question of how can I get my 90-year-old cognitively impaired parent to accept help at home? And in a moment, I'm going to read out a specific question that was posted in the membership. But for people watching and listening, and for our Helping Older Parents members who are also going to get to watch this video, this is especially for you if your parent has been showing signs of memory and thinking decline for at least several months. For many of you, you've been noticing slow changes and declines maybe over the last year or two. This is for you if you've been observing that your parent is now struggling with daily life tasks that used to be manageable, whether that's managing finances or organizing the meals or paying bills on time, taking care of the house, maybe driving. This is for you if your parent seems to have poor insight into their problems. So they don't seem to see that they're having these difficulties, or they're denying it, or they're claiming that the problem is with other things. And Linda and I will tell you, this is extremely, extremely common, right? So if this is your situation, don't worry, you're normal, or it's certainly common. This is for you if your parent has been reluctant to make changes to their long-time living situation. So for many of our members, this parent in, you know, their early 90s has been living in their home for a long time and is quite attached to it and is reluctant to make changes or consider changes. And this is also for you if you're unable to be the person who comes in every day to help your aging parent, which sometimes parents are more open to than getting help that is not you. But we know that you are often juggling your own work, your other obligations, and coming in every day to help your parent, especially when they're having difficulty seeing their problems, is often going to feel like something you can't sustain long term. So this is a really common situation. And unfortunately, professionals like Linda have experience helping families navigate this. So Linda, before you share some specific suggestions, I'm not going to share the story that came up recently from one of our members. We won't share her actual name. We'll call her Amy for right now to protect her privacy. But what Amy shared recently was, it's the first of the month again, and again, my 90-year-old mom is sitting at the computer blaming everyone, everything, for the computer not working to pay her bills. It's frustrating and sad. She cannot deal with it. One brother has power of attorney but won't step in to address or confront the problem. She resists all efforts to assist on any level. Another brother lives with her at her home, and he's about to lose his mind with this problem. She has a list of ongoing health issues, and we've been worried because we feel like we see her declining steadily over these past several months. My brother's getting very burned out trying to help her, but she denies she has a problem and is refusing to consider any other help in the home. So, Linda, let me turn it over to you. What would be your suggestions as to what this woman's children could try to do next to address this situation?
Well, first up, maybe join the mother in her frustration instead of pointing out her failing, to join her in her frustration. Let's just see her at the computer frustrated with what all of us get frustrated with when we're online. It is complicated, it is hard, and I can't even imagine somebody in the earlier middle stages with the dementia even trying to do it. So here mom is at the computer trying to do it, the daughter's trying to help her, and she's giving help instead of joining her. So one of the things that families can do is join and say, oh, I have a trouble with that too, mom. Let me sit down and see what I can do to straighten it out. So your mom doesn't feel demeaned by that intervention. She feels like everybody has that problem. And then the daughter maybe can set up all the bills to be paid directly online with her mom sitting there. And then she doesn't have to go to the computer monthly. It's happened automatically. So you make things simple in the more challenging places of managing everyday life. So again, joining, making it simple, taking the problem away without making her feel bad about herself. That would be a good intervention there for an adult child to try. But we've got three siblings here and a brother living in the house who is just fed up with it. And I'm sure they're saying, mom, at your age, you know, it's time to bring in help. We can find a caregiver for you. They're telling her all these things. But what mom is hearing, and this is really important to think about, is you're going to take away my independence and I won't have any say in my life. And I don't want you to do that. I've been independent all my life. Mom has no insight into her deficits at this point because of the problem she probably has. I would probably want to, as a geriatric care manager, ask more questions if I were working with the family. But right now, it is good for you to also probably set up a medical appointment for her and go with her to the doctor. And maybe prior to the appointment, send the doctor very simple bullet points, not five pages of letters of what you're observing. So the doctor, he or she, can look at that and see if the medication she's currently taking are correct. So there are some things you can do there. And I would also be wondering, brother's living in the house, you know, how's her diet? Is she also dehydrated? It's summertime right now. Is she drinking or not? You know, what is causing her to be so confused? This is causing you to be so frustrated. So you want to eliminate all those things and that can be turned around, but that doesn't end your frustration about your mom accepting help. Mm-hmm. Trying to get somebody in the house sometimes is the most challenging. And this is where creativity comes in play. And that's what's so good about helping older parents and the support that each member gives each other, plus the expertise that comes in from the experts and our doctors. So what you want to do is, again, is be really creative in introducing any help to your mom. And the first thing I usually suggest with people that have reluctance, don't say you need help. Maybe mom's had a balance problem. Something in mom's environment that you see and say, well, I'm going to get this therapist who is a trainer to come in and work with you. Well, that person, you're kind of giving a therapeutic fib with. That means saying something that isn't true, but saying something that's not going to hurt the other person or demean them in any way. So you're going to bring in the trainer who is a caregiver who will start walking with mom or dad every day. And maybe it's not every day, maybe it's three times a week. Or the person is an organizer or a secretary. Maybe since mom's had trouble with the bookkeeping aspect, maybe they come in as a bookkeeper and they sit at the computer with her twice a week. But the third time they come, they also bring some food items like bread and lunch meats to make a sandwich or ingredients to make soup and say, I didn't have time to make my lunch, let's do this together. So again, you're gradually getting your parent. What you're doing is you're building trust. When you say to a parent, we need to bring in help, you're saying we need to bring in a stranger. When you bring in somebody that you know personally and you've screened, then that person isn't a helper necessarily. They're just somebody that they have a relationship with who is really, you know, doing some help. Maybe your parent will even use the word help. And sometimes what I have seen, adult children beware, that the older person becomes so dependent on the help that you found for them, they see fault in you kids, and this person is a saint. So the kids start going, oh my God, we've been doing all this stuff for mom and she doesn't appreciate us. You know, remember what your goal is, and you've gotten the help there, and now mom or dad, they're reasonably safe because they have the trainer, they have the secretary, they have the bookkeeper, whatever we've decided to call that person, they're okay. So it's about building a relationship with somebody and not bringing in a stranger.
It sounds like for Amy's situation, and I think Amy doesn't live super close to her mom, but she has a brother who's there. It sounds like they, I love the things that you said. And, you know, this is a theme we repeatedly repeat to our members, is that your aging parent generally needs empathy, not explanations, right? So joining them in the frustration, not explaining that the problem is that they're getting forgetful. They need to accept help. No. That we want to instead frame the suggestion in a way that helps the older person feel better about themselves.
Yes.
That fudging the truth is often reasonable because we're not there to take advantage of them. We're helping them with something that they want, which is often to keep living in the home. And Amy and her siblings need to get creative about how to bring someone in, not because you need help. And we do see a lot of adult children doing this in our membership and outside. And if you've been doing this, don't feel bad. We see families often very well intentioned trying to get their older parent to understand that they need the help, because then they'll accept, and it never works, right?
Right.
Instead, we have to be creative about bringing in someone under a pretext that feels less alarming to the older parent. And once that person's there and the older parent gets used to them, they can kind of take on a little bit more. So for Amy's situation with her brother actually being there, maybe he could even bring in somebody, you know, to assist him.
Right.
Right. And that would
housekeeper.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that would create a familiar person. So he could find a way to frame it as for him, something that he needed, and his mother would get used to it. And then maybe he could scale back his involvement if that's something that he needs to do for his long-term well-being.
Right, right. And, you know, sometimes we become codependent, and since we're there even a few minutes a day or live in the house, that older parent becomes, I don't need anybody because I have you. And we don't realize that we're in the way. If you weren't there, what would happen? And not that you're going to want to explain that to mom or dad, but, you know, you have to, maybe the brother has to come up with a story that he has a problem with his back. Again, that fudging of the truth or the therapeutic fiblet of why he needs to have somebody come in and do the laundry or do some of the things he's already been doing. And again, we're hoping that that person builds a relationship with mom. And once the relationship is solid, then you're pretty much off the hook if it really works the way you set it up to be.
And we also had another member whose mom is also older with, you know, signs of dementia, living alone, you know, struggling at home, you know, refusing help. And the member mentioned, well, we keep asking her if she will agree, and she keeps, you know, saying no. Can you offer some suggestions as alternatives to asking? Because we do see that people are often trying to get their parent to give permission. So what is a better approach, would you say?
Well, number one, if you're aware that there really is a cognitive issue going on, a dementia like Alzheimer's or whatever, your mom's probably never going to make that decision because decisions just are challenging because of the disease process. So I think it's you tell stories. You tell stories about, oh, my friend Susie's mother or cousin somebody or maybe a name that your mom's familiar with. Just moved into, you know, I'm going to say Happy Valley retirement community. She is having so much fun. And then name the things that your mom enjoys, gardening, pets, musicals that they have, whatever it is that is the, and don't say anything about mom moving there. Just say she's really having fun. Maybe we want to go visit her. And that sets up an opportunity to go visit a community. And when you do that, what I found with older adults, especially people that are quite old in their, say, 90s, is they've not ever visited an assisted living. And their picture of what retirement living is usually a nursing home, a skilled nursing home that maybe they had a relative or friend in many years ago, which was horrific and smelly and not a place anybody wanted to go. So this just gives them another vision. You go for lunch, you don't say anything about moving in there, and you leave it. So again, there's an option she's viewed. That maybe she'll come back, and I've had this happen, and say, you remember that place we saw, if they do have capacity for some memory? I've been thinking about it. Maybe it would be good for me to try it. So that's the ideal, but it doesn't always happen that way. So you give some choices to, and sometimes I blame the doctor, and here she is on the line with me. And I say, your doctor mom has said that you have to, it's time for you to move, but I don't think you need to move. Your doctor thinks you need to move to a senior residence, but I don't, I'm your advocate. And, you know, let's see why the doctor thinks, well, you've lost weight, so maybe we need to get you better meals in here. We could have Meals on Wheels come, and they'll bring a meal that probably is good enough for two meals, so that will help you gain some weight, so you don't have to, you know, the doctor isn't worried about that. And, you know, you have had difficulty getting in and out of your shower, and it's not safe. I know you probably think it is safe, but it's not safe. And again, we can find somebody to remodel the bathroom and make it safer for you to go into there and take a shower. And these are the things we can do. Which ones would you like to try first? Mm-hmm. And let your parent have some choice. And I probably named too many things. I would probably start with one or two. So your parent has a choice. Well, okay, I'll start with Meals on Wheels.
Right.
Or, okay, I'll visit that place. Or, okay, there's some okay. And so you made the doctor the bad guy. Sorry, Leslie. But it is an approach that sometimes works. And sometimes the parent will say, I don't care what that doctor has to say. I'm not going to do anything. And I'm just going to, you know, this is my choice. And
then so there to get a parent to accept help at home, you're first of all positing this worse alternative, right?
Yes.
That people are, you know, authoritative people are saying you should probably move. And then you're presenting yourself as the helper who's going to help them get what they really want, which is to stay.
Right.
By making a few concessions.
Right.
That feel more manageable than something big and scary like a move. That's great. So just to wrap this up, let's come back to Amy's situation. And so there, you know, in our membership and in general, we try to provide practical advice to people like Amy who are helping their aging parents. And often with a little bit of information and advice, adult children can make headway with their parents. And it can also be beneficial to hire a local professional who can come in and talk with your parents and coax them into accepting some changes. And that's something that professionals like you, Linda, geriatric care managers, they're now also known as aging life care professionals, do. So can you now talk a little bit about how, if Amy and her siblings were to hire you locally, how would you approach this as a geriatric care manager? What would be some of the things that you might say and do to try to get this 90-year-old mother who's developing memory and thinking problems, you know, clearly seems to have some dementia, to accept some help and supervision because she is going to need it eventually and probably indefinitely?
Yeah, I would definitely I meet with all of the siblings at the same time, whether it's in my office or on a Zoom call. That seems to be what we're doing nowadays. But, you know, that might continue with adult children at a distance. It's kind of a nice option where we can get on the phone and talk about how long it's been going on, what are they observing, and what have they tried so far, and what were the results. And then it's always good for me to tell the adult children that your parent sometimes sees you as a 10-year-old. You might have a PhD in psychology. You might be an MD yourself or a nurse, somebody else in the helping. Maybe you're a social worker. And they see you as a 10-year-old, and they are just reluctant to accept anything you have to say. I've gone into situations where the adult children are there and their parent, and I make recommendations like Meals on Wheels and emergency response systems, and you know, maybe I've given them 10 different ideas, and the mom or the dad is looking at their children and saying, isn't she wonderful? Isn't that's a great idea? Well, the adult children have been telling their mother about this service for the last 3 years, but I, as an objective third party, come in, and I'm smart, because mother hasn't known me as a 10-year-old. She's only known me as a professional, an adult. And so that's sometimes just the only intervention that's needed, is to introduce your mom to me, who makes some of the same suggestions that you've made. But there might be other things. Again, it's based on what's mom done all her life, what gives her life value and meaning, and making sure that I integrate that into whatever plan I come up with. Mom loved gardening, but she can't bend anymore. Let's get her some raised, you know, planter boxes so she can plant her favorite flowers or veggies or whatever, to make it safe for her to do what she's always loved. And then she might need a helper, the gardener helper, who might also be a good cook. So again, we've taken something that she's valued and has given her life meaning. Maybe she always liked to volunteer. I have been able to, over the years, get paid caregivers to be volunteer pals with my clients. And the two of them would go to a daycare program and help with the singing, even though the person should have been in the daycare program. They were just coming as a helper to help the old people, even though my client's 90-ish herself. But she's got a good voice, and she always loved to sing. So she goes and feels really good about herself. But here we've got her engaged in something that gives her life meaning. We've got a caregiving person who is part of the plan that we've set up. And maybe they go to the medical appointment, then they go to the daycare center to participate in the sing-along. And after that, they go grocery shopping and come home and make some beef stew or put something in the crock pot. So even though the person is only a volunteer, she thinks is a volunteer helper, we've got her engaged with this person and feeling good about herself. It's all about, the reluctance is about, I don't want to accept my failing. I've always been independent. And the person doesn't have the insight to realize that they're making poor judgments on things, like they bought things online or in the mail, they're making donations that are unreasonable. All of those things. Sorry about my cat that keeps walking by me.
Your cat hasn't been showing up. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. It seems to be walking in front of the screen every 5 minutes. Anyway, so again, and that's another thing. Pets can be a wonderful intervention, whether it's a visiting pet that has been trained to visit older adults or getting a pet that mom or dad can manage. Cats are a little bit easier than dogs because you don't have to walk them, but you have to keep them clean and fed. It's a purpose for living somewhat is to take care of that. I have a client in assisted living and she just lives for the little dog that lives with her. It just makes her, she's just radiant when she's engaged with this animal. So there are lots of different interventions that a geriatric care manager might set up for you, but they're going to be based again on your parents' quality of life and what gave their life meaning and giving them, again, it's about not giving empathy, but giving respect in this.
Not giving explanations, I think you meant.
No explanations, no.
Empathy, no. Empathy, yes. Explanations, no.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, and even empathy, you got to be careful with that. Yeah. No explanations, definitely not reasoning with your family member. It's, again, going for what they want. They want to be respected. They want to have their independence. Sometimes it's reasonable that they can have quasi-independence, and other times their deficits are so great that they have to have 24-hour care or they need to be moved to, and that's a whole other discussion, moved to a senior community.
We'll do that in another FAQ another day. And right. So when should people be careful about empathy? Maybe we can close with that.
I think that empathy is, let's go back to something called active listening. Mm. This could be the most empathy that you give is, I understand you're angry. To understand whatever that feeling is, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're sad, depression.
Acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it and then move on to the, but mom, you've always been such a great gardener. Oh, dad, you've managed your finances for so long and now taxes are so crazy. Let's get somebody to be your co-bookkeeper to work with you on because of taxes. Again, you're going to acknowledge their strengths. And if you just give empathy, I guess if you give empathy, just empathy without using the strengths, it's called strengths-based counseling that a lot of social workers do with older adults. It's finding that strength and working around that in your plan.
So it sounds like you want to validate and acknowledge their frustration or what they're complaining about, but you don't want to stay there too long with them.
No.
You want to transition their attention to something else that is not an explanation, because sometimes you see that, a moment of validation, but the explanation, you want to transition it instead to something that brings up a strength or a positive thing for them, and then transitions to a suggestion that you are going to be framing as a way to hopefully get them something that is meaningful to them.
Right.
And it's so important to understand their goals and preferences and values.
And it's really important for the adult child to realize that sometimes that suggestion will only come from somebody who is not your child. It might come from a daughter-in-law or son-in-law or a professional geriatric care manager, aging life care professional. So it's not that you're not smart and you don't have good ideas, but it's just, it's called filial maturity, that your parent hasn't gotten to that point of understanding that you're an adult and very wise in your wisdom.
Right.
So
Amy and her siblings can try these. And if it's not working well, is there a spouse, an in-law in the family who could give it a try? Because you've seen that sometimes aging parents are more willing to listen to a son-in-law or daughter-in-law than to their child. Is there another authoritative or trusted figure who could make the suggestion? And if that's still not working, then hiring a trained professional with experience, that they might listen to the suggestion from that neutral party And that person, a trained geriatric care manager, will often have lots of other creative ideas to draw upon to help move the situation forward.
Right.
So, great. Well, Linda, this was super helpful. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
And I know this will be really helpful to our members and also to anybody, because we know there are so many people who are finding themselves in the situation with a loved older parent who's approaching this age range of late 80s, early 90s, clearly showing signs of memory and thinking problems and refusing the help. So we hope this has been helpful to you. And if you would ever like to ask an expert like me or Linda for guidance on how to help your aging parent, then I hope you'll consider joining one of my Helping Older Parents programs. They usually include access to weekly live Q&A calls in which we answer questions in real time from people like you and help you figure out whatever it is that you are struggling with your aging parent. And so if you'd like to learn more about it, we will post a link below. Otherwise, we plan to periodically release a frequently asked question for the public, because our goal is to be helpful to as many people as possible. So thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.